revelation of God in Christ is ours to understand, is ours to fully comprehend. We are not the ones that need parables to be spoken to us. No, we have clear understanding. We have clear words, clear speeches. Understanding is ours this morning, as usual, in the name of Jesus. Everyone who comes here receives understanding. They fully comprehend what the revelation of God is in Christ Jesus. And we are all made better for it by the word and by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. All right, have a seat. I don't want anybody from behind Ife, so come up. Come up either, as in from behind Ife. That role, Vivian, Sister Christy. Not you, Sister Christy. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful morning. The seats are in front. What? Super TV sitting in front this morning. Blessed morning. From Lulua. Sitting in front. Hallelujah. Okay. So we continue our series. Breaking Dividing Walls. The Religion of Peace. Part 6. So if you've not been following, you can imagine how much you've missed. This is part 6. Part 1, we started by looking at the fact that the human spirit is designed strictly only for God, and nothing else can occupy it, and the devil's influence only stops at the mind. And then part 2, we went to understand what deception really was, or deception is, as the devil's tool of influence, and how he deceives men to the point that they don't know that they are deceived. That is the power of deception. Men don't know they are deceived, and so they do the devil's work for him and get the same result. So part 3, we started looking at the religion of peace, and we saw that who a prophet is. What does it mean to be a prophet? For you to be a prophet, you have to have received something by inspiration, which can either come through vision, dreams, or angelic visitations. But we saw also that those things are not conclusive proofs that the person is a prophet. What distinguishes and identifies a prophet is the message, which we focused on in part 4, talking about the message. And we looked at how all the prophets from scriptures, from Genesis, they all said the same thing consistently. And we said that that message is the central information that God has placed in the heart of a man. So for you to say you are a prophet, you will not just say, I saw an angel and we worship you. No, you must tell us what you received, and we'll compare by the scriptures if that message follows or is in tandem with the central revelation of God, as he has put in all the prophets consistently. So that was part 4. Then part 5, we looked again at what the scriptures were, what the scripture is. And we saw that the scripture from Genesis to Malachi, your entire book, are documentations which contains the message. And we're able to understand priority, right? That we sift through, even though there's historical events and records, but we're not carried away. We're not carried away by the people's lives, the prophets' lives. No, we look at the message, because that is actually what the focus of the scripture is. So that's what we have looked at so far. I hope that was a good summary. Try my best. Okay, so today we are looking at part 6. After focusing on what the message is and the fact that the scripture is the source, so we're going to start now in this light. We're going to see another tenet of this religion and examine it in light of the scriptures. Now, this religion believes in the eternal being. They believe that there is a God who is the eternal being. He is eternal. He was not begotten. That means no one gave birth to him. Neither does he beget. He did not give birth to anyone. This is a core belief of this religion, and that's what we'll be looking at. The divine being, the eternal being, was not begotten. That means nobody gave birth to him. Neither does he beget. He did not give birth to anyone. So this is what we are going to examine in light of the scriptures. Don't forget all we have learned so far ensure you understand what the prophet is, the source, the message, and what the scripture is, documentation, and the focus on the message. Okay, so with that in mind, let's start. It is necessary to note that this assertion, this belief of this religion is correct. We'll examine it firstly. But the divine and eternal being, he was not begotten, meaning no one gave birth to him, is correct. God is the originator of life. God is the originator of life. It is by him that all things consist. God is the source of life. All things consist by him. He is life. He is not just the giver of life, he is life. He is before all things. These are the characteristics of God. No one can claim to have birthed God. No one. You cannot have claim, you cannot lay claim to the fact that you were the source of God. No. He has no beginning and no end. Rather, he is the beginning and the end of all things. And he is our God. We affirm this, we know that. He is the eternal one. So if we have to search for an existence before God, if you want to embark on a journey of inquiry and say you want to search for a pre-God deity or something that existed before God, is the easiest way to slip into perversion. That is the easiest way to slip into perversion. And the whole adventure will simply be an exercise in futility. If you want to ponder, I don't know how many of you did that, but I used to do it when I was younger. Just sit down and be thinking, where are we? Who did we come from? What happened in this life? Who is God? How did it, if everybody must be created, so who is the God? How can somebody just exist? All those philosophical thinking, right? No matter how much you think, the best you can achieve or arrive at is futility. You will just end up being confused. So you are just to accept simply the fact that God is the one who predates everyone, the source of life. And is the source of all, no one is the source of him. Genesis 1:1. God is the source of all. Genesis 1:1. Are we there? Just start your Bible from the beginning. Just go to the very beginning. Very beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we saw that in the beginning, there was already one in existence, God. And we have no contrary evidence to negate this anywhere, that there was any other person beside the beginning. So before anything was formed, before anything was created, one being exists, which is God, and he will always exist. So that is correct. The divine and eternal being, he was not begotten. No one gave birth to him. Correct assertion. But remember where we have been coming from, that the prophet spoke a divine message of God's divine will, right? And that they consistently said the same thing. Genesis, right from the foundational prophets or the foundational fathers. Let's go to Genesis 3. See Genesis 3. Just flip to the next thing. Genesis 3:15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So from the very beginning, we've already started seeing an utterance referencing the seed. The seed. And we've already established that the central message that this prophet carried was of God. That means God is the source of that message they carried. All this point, we're going to tie it towards the end, but it's necessary that this sinks in. All right, so we'll examine again what the prophet said. The last time we did it was just to have just pick one or two scriptures thereabout to just examine. But now we are going to examine this central message. And we'll see that this central message was not about themselves. Of course, we saw it the other time. It was not about themselves. That is why we are careful to separate the message from their life. We're careful to separate the message from the events surrounding them, because the message they were speaking about was nothing related to themselves at all. All right, now let's continue. The seed introduced in Genesis 3:15. The seed. All right, let's see again. Job 19. You ready to open your Bibles? Just be ready to open. We'll go as slowly as we can. Right now, we are looking through the scriptures. What are the prophets actually saying? What is this message they were carrying? What is this central message? Now we're going to look at it in depth. We already saw Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. That means he will be born of a woman. He will be a human being who will be able to crush Satan's dominion. That's Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman shall bruise your head. Okay, seed of the woman, a child or a man, a human. Job, we read, open that, Job 19. Job chapter 19. Central message that the prophets carried. Okay, verse 25. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now, what was Job saying? Job was saying that one day, in the latter day, the Redeemer that lives shall stand, right? Shall stand on the earth, and that flesh will be able to see him. Talking about the fact that, already hinting that there will be an aspect of divinity that men will be able to see. Can you see a spirit? No. So if he was referring to just a spirit, this will not happen. So Job was already laying all, even though he does not fully understand, but he's saying in the flesh, God will be on earth and we will be able to see him. Let's see Psalm. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. Don't forget the purpose of this series. We are using the scriptures to bet conviction. So, in the multitude and volume of scriptures, not one or two, the consistent fact from scriptures that a person to doubt this will just be you just don't want to believe. But the evidence is already there. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Okay, now. This is a Psalm of David, talking about the prophecies of David. And we already said that the prophets were not speaking about themselves, right? Okay, so now, David is saying that this person that will come to do God's will come in the volume of the books, will come as it is written of him. That means, concerning this person, his coming will be according to the scriptures, according to what the scriptures have said. This is how you will know him. His coming is going to be in the volume of the books that is written of him. You will be able to compare and see this person that came. How is he? Is this what the scripture said concerning him or not? And then be able to make conclusive proof. Do you understand? All right, so that is what he's saying. You will compare his coming and what the scripture says concerning him. If it tallies, then that is the person that is coming to do God's will. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, skip to the next one. Can you read the Bible? Psalm 45, from verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thy arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever, and even this, and forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Do you see that? See, when it started from verse 1, and then it was describing someone. Then in verse 6, he said, thy throne, O God. So this is a description of royalty. Not talking about David, but a man. David was describing a man. And he said, thou art fairer than the children of men. This person is going to be distinct from the children of men, even though he's a man. This is what David was talking about. And he said, the blessing of God is upon him forever. Blessing of God is upon this one forever. The characteristics... You didn't bring book. They're just looking at me since. Okay, the characteristics of this person are truth, meekness, righteousness. This is the characteristics of the person that David is describing. He said he would teach men reverence. He would teach men reverence. He will subdue his enemies. That is this person he's describing. This person will teach men reverence. He will subdue his enemies. And then David called him God. This person, God, forever. Okay, let's continue. Psalm 72. What were the prophets actually talking about? What is this message they carried consistently? Psalm 72. You ready to read? It's a long read. I will not paraphrase the scripture for you. Ready to read it and see for yourself. Okay, from verse 1. Give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. It shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Verse 7. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that had no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruits thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now see plenty descriptions concerning who David referred to as the king's son. And he ended it by talking about God. But we just paraphrase everything he said in this life. He shall judge the people. This is the characteristic of what David is saying about this man. That this person, he will judge the people. He shall save men. He will judge people. He will save men. The fear of him or the reverence for him will exist throughout all generations. Throughout all generations. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. That means around the ends of the earth. That is the scope of his dominion. He shall have dominion over his enemies. And then it says all kings will worship him. Talking about the fact that this one is going to be higher than all royalty and kings and principalities on the earth. And then he says, his name shall endure forever. Still describing this person. His name shall endure forever. And note especially, he said men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Men shall be blessed in this one, and all nations will call him blessed. And then he ended the chapter by making it clear that he was talking about divinity, yet a man. He was describing a man, yet with the attributes of God. Is that clear? And this is consistent with what we have been talking about from the beginning, right? In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In your seed, in a man that is to come, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This one will have the blessing that men need. And we saw that that seed was not referring to Isaac, neither was it referring to Jacob, neither was it referring to any of the children of Israel, because subsequently, the same prophecy kept coming, thy seed. That was what we examined in, I think that was part 4 or so. Yes, part 4. All right, let's look at another scripture, Psalm 110. Let's be ready to see. Don't forget, this person coming will come in the volume of the books. The scriptures would have written comprehensively about him. It's not going to be a fairy tale or a figment of men's imagination. No. The scriptures will voluminously speak about him. Psalm 110. From verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, David is speaking about two lords there, right? So, my Lord said to my Lord. Two lords. All right. So, David was speaking by inspiration. And yet, he said that God, a divine being, will have authority as a man. Don't forget, only a man can be a priest for other men. And then he said, you are a priest forever. You will have dominion. He will send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. He will rule in the midst of his enemies. So that this person will have authority as a man. And this authority is God-given. My Lord said to my Lord. God is yeah. This authority that this man will use is God-given. Is God-backed. It is not contrary to God. So God is involved. All right, let's continue. Psalm 118. Wait for you. Several scriptures to look at. Psalm 118. Okay, from verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord had chastened me sore, but he had not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, and his mercies endureth forever. So, you know, when we're talking about, when we see prophecies, we always distinguish in the multitude of thy words what the message is, right? Okay, all right, let's start. The right hand here was used to describe this person. See, the plenty description has been used to describe this person coming. Here it was described as the right hand. That he cometh in the name of the Lord, and he will save. That is what it means. Save now, I beseech thee. That's where the word Hosanna is gotten from. Hosanna, Hosanna is the cry for salvation. So we say, this person says, save now, I beseech thee. Okay, so that this person coming will save. He will show men light. And he said clearly that this is the Lord's doing, not any man. This is the Lord's doing, not any man. Don't forget, we are tracing the central message of the prophets throughout the scriptures. What were they actually talking about? Proverbs 30. If we're going to look at everywhere, we might not exhaust this series, maybe to part 80. But we are going around to pick some things around. And if you read throughout, you will understand clearer, or this will give you a guide, so that when you read the scriptures on your own, you will understand when the prophets were talking about the central message. That is when the Old Testament no longer becomes boring for you. Psalm, Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who had ascended up into heaven or descended? Who had gathered the wind in his fist? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou can tell. Let's read this again. Who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who had gathered the wind in his fist? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou can tell. You know, all these things are a question, right? Now, this description can only fit who? Can only fit who? Oh, who is this description, who can it fit, first of all? Who can ascend up to the hill? Who can bind feasts? Who can gather the water in the garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Who is he describing? God. So this is obviously a divine being he's describing. Someone that is eternal. The person that can do all these things. This is the characteristics of God. But he said, what is his name? He's asking. And what is his son's name? If thou can tell. Son, being tied to divinity. What is his name? This is obviously God. Only God can do these things. This is the description of God. So you must first of all see these things as an attribute or a description of God. Then you now start asking, who is he and who is his son's name? Right? So you see the prophets were inquiring. All right, let's go to Isaiah. Don't forget what we said in part 5. That sometimes the prophets might be voluminous, they might say a lot of things, sometimes they might say sparingly, sometimes they might say it clearly, other times it will be hidden in the middle of plenty things, but the central message is the same. So that's what we are going around to check around now. Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, from verse 1. Isaiah 9 from verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Verse 4. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused notes and garments rolled in blood. For this shall be with the burning and fuel of fire. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now see a profound description of what Isaiah was talking about. He said, the people that dwell in Galilee will see a light, right? This person will be the light of men. Then see the description. He said, a child is born, a son is given. This person will be born. A son is given, but this child will be born. All right, we'll continue later about what that means. But he's saying that this person will be born as a man. And see the characteristics he described the person. When he said his name, his position, his characteristics, his appellation, this will be who he is. And he's saying wonderful. That means a miracle. This will be a wondrous thing. Miracle. Marvelous thing. It shall be a wonder. This person is counselor. He's a counselor. He's a guide. He is the mighty God. At least there is no other description you can call. Once you say mighty God, you should only refer to one person, right? Only one person, like we started from the beginning. God is eternal, the divine one, is the only God. No other person drags that. So this description, and then he's saying the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yet, the person he's describing is who? A man. Clear from the prophecy that this person I'm calling the mighty God, that I'm calling the everlasting Father, that I'm calling the Prince of Peace is a man. All right, then he concluded by saying that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That means God himself will be the one to get this done. When he said the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, God will get this done. This will be the handiwork of God, not a man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is God. But he's describing the man. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. The prophets were voluminous in this message. Voluminous. He left no doubt as to what they were talking about. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who is Jesse? The father of David. So when he's saying Jesse, he's also talking about David, right? Consistent with what has been saying, that the branch from David. Okay, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. Remember when we were doing Judaism, roots refers to ancestry, genealogy. Okay, all right, the branch shall grow out of his roots. That means an offspring will grow out from this genealogy. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and mind, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, see where he started from. From the beginning, he already talked about the fact that this person will be a man. He will be a human being. And you will trace his genealogy to David. You must be able to trace that to David. You must be able to trace it to Abraham. A person cannot come and say, I am the one the scripture is talking about, when he cannot trace his roots to these persons. Okay. And he's talking about future events. That's why he said, they shall come. Something that has not yet happened. And he's speaking of a man. And he said, this man, the essence of this man, the spirit that will be upon him, the essence on him will be wisdom, revelation. Those are the characteristics he said. Knowledge, counsel, mind. This will be the essence that this man will have upon him. The spirit and the characteristics of God will be upon this one. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue. Isaiah 33. Well, let's see 32 first. Isaiah 32. A man is coming who shall have the characteristics of God. Isaiah 32 from verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Now, see verse 2. First of all, he said that a king shall reign in righteousness. He's talking about a man who will have dominion. And verse 2, he now said that a man shall be a hiding place from the wind. That he will be a covert from the tempest. You know what the tempest is, right? Storm, destruction. That there will be a shelter. That this person will be as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So, this person that is coming is going to be a succor for men. It's going to be a solution. This is what a man will be to other men. But don't forget, he's describing a man. And he's saying this man will be a hiding place, a shelter, a safe haven for others. A description of the man that is coming, confirming his divinity or his kingship and his humanity as well. All right, let's leap to the next chapter, 33. Isaiah 33, verse 22. Forget where we read. A man will be the refuge. A man will be the safe place for other men. Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will what? Save us. The characteristic, who is he talking about? Divinity, right? He's talking about the Lord. And he's saying that the Lord is our judge. The Lord will be our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. And this Lord we save. Okay, we're coming. Same reverence. Ascribing the same reverence to this king who will save man. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 from verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Now, see what he's talking about. He's saying that, this is saying that Zion said, I will not rest my peace. I will not hold myself unto their salvation burneth, and the salvation thereof as a lamb that burneth. And what will happen is that Gentiles will be able to see righteousness. Okay? The offshoot of this is that Gentiles will see righteousness, and these things will happen to them. All right, let's see Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, that word arise there is saying that it will appear. It will be seen from thee. That's what he said, arise. That means, can you see glory spiritually? Can you see glory? Can you say this is glory? How does it look like? So, this is obviously referring to something that the people will be able to see. And he's saying the glory of the Lord. These are attributes, words used to describe a person. The glory of the Lord will come out, will appear in your midst from you to see, from you to you. Do you understand? The glory of the Lord will rise up from you. We cannot see spiritual glory. So, of course, this is referring to someone that they can see. Isaiah 62, 11. 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now, see how we use the word, thy salvation cometh. And what is the pronoun we see there? Him. Talking about is referring or describing a person. And he calls this person your salvation. He calls him the salvation of the people. And he told them to behold. To behold means to see. So you will see this. You will see him. You will see this person who is your salvation. Describing a man as well. All descriptions describing all the attributes that a man that is coming, the seed, will have. Jeremiah. Let's now go to the house of Jeremiah. We're thinking through to Malachi. The prophets were consistent in this message. In part 4, we only saw that they're talking about the seed. And now we are looking at the characteristics of this person that is coming. What did the scripture say concerning him? Jeremiah 23. Open your Bibles. This is how you can convince a man. How do you plan to convince a man with volume of scriptures when you don't like opening it? Open. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. See the emphasis, everything written in bold letters. So now this is saying the Lord, behold, the days come and say the Lord that I will raise. He's talking about, first of all, that what will happen will be an action of God. Don't forget that the plenty of times you keep saying, I will, or this will be by the Lord. Okay, so he's saying, I will raise from David, talking about David's lineage, that's the same meaning of the branch, a righteous branch. And this person will be king. This person will bring salvation. And this person will make men to dwell safely. And this person will be the Lord, our righteousness. Characteristics of God. Who else? You can't call that a mere man. You can't call a mere man our Lord. But he's saying this person will be the Lord, our righteousness. Yet he's a man. Okay, Micah chapter 5. Micah. Let me see how long it takes. I'm going to open. Micah. You will like Old Testament today. By the time we are done with this series, you will like it. Micah 5. I'm still hearing pages turning. When you're there, let me know. Micah. Pages are still turning. Micah 5. Okay. Verse 1. Pages have stopped turning. Please, open, if you're not there, open it. So don't say because I'm hearing pages. All right. Micah 5:1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He had laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little, behold, among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up unto the time that she which travelled hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the end of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when enemies come upon the land. That's the Assyrians and the rest that he's describing. Hallelujah. All right, so now see further description of this same man. He said, the man that will come out from you, from Bethlehem, is going forth, have been from old. His coming, his existence has been from where? Everlasting. Is it there? Remember where we started from? The eternal one is the only everlasting one, right? So this is a description of who? Of God. Yes, who is he describing? A man. This man shall come forth, who shall be the ruler. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord, in the capacity of God, in the majesty of the name of the Lord is God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2. Okay, Zechariah 2, 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Ha. He's saying that the Lord will dwell in the midst of them, and they will see him. Is God everywhere? God is omnipotent. Do you see him? No. But if he's saying that God will dwell in your midst and you will see him, this is obviously talking about the attribute of a physical person. And yet, the description is also God. And then he says, be silent. We'll explain that later. There will be no doubt, no contradiction to this possibility. Be silent. Accept this. Hallelujah. Okay, the same Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, who? The branch. Remember how he has been using the same word from Isaiah to Jeremiah. The branch, the branch, the branch. Okay, same description, talking about the same person. Zechariah 6. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now see further description of the man. This one said it clearly. The man who is the branch. So this branch I've been talking about is a man. And this man shall bear the glory of God. The glory of God, fully resident in this one. He shall bear it. He shall be king, and he shall also be priest. Characteristics of the person, and he will build the temple of God. This was when they were struggling to build their physical temple, and utterances were coming that, ha, don't worry, a man is coming, the branch, who will build the temple of God. All right, let's continue. Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9. Verse 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and it shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. So consistent with what the other prophets have been saying, that your king will come, and then he gives them a further description that he will be riding upon an ass, and he will have salvation with him. He shall speak peace to the heathen, and his dominion will be all over the earth. From ends to ends of the earth. There will be no place that is excluded from his dominion. A description of a man. So with all the scriptures we have read, tracing from Genesis, what are the characteristics we can find? We can find the following things. We can see an awareness, a consistent awareness through prophecies that a man is coming. This is what we can find from Genesis. All from part 4, part 5, and this is part 6. We have been saying the same thing. A consistent awareness through prophecies that a man is coming. And the characteristics of this man, the characteristics of this person that is coming, the seed, first of all, he will be a man. This is important. Scripture kept emphasizing it. He will be a man. He will be a human being. He will be from the offspring of David, which can also be traced to Abraham. Don't forget, person coming must come in the volume of the books. We must be able to see that you are who the scripture talks about. And these are what the scriptures have told us so far. That he will be the salvation of man. You kept seeing it. Your salvation cometh. He's coming. Your king is coming with salvation. So this man coming will be the salvation of men. Then he will have an everlasting dominion. That has been a consistent prophecy too. He will have an everlasting dominion. And a dominion that is not limited to a particular place. No. From ends to ends. Everlasting, entire dominion. He will bring peace to men, including the heathen, including the Gentiles. Though he comes from David, yet he will bring peace to men. A child will be born. He will be born. He will not just appear. He will be born. We will see that he was born. These are the things. Then, in him shall all men be blessed. All nations shall be blessed in him. All men shall be blessed in him. We've seen that consistently throughout the scriptures, throughout the prophecies, that this man that is coming, all nations shall be blessed in him. Then also, that this man will bear the glory and the characteristics of God. The man coming will bear the full glory and characteristics of God. You will not be able to deny his divinity. That is what the scripture says concerning him. So we've seen from Genesis down. Okay, let's end it with Malachi. Malachi was the last of the prophets here. Let's see what Malachi had to say about this man. Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So before me there is talking about the Lord, right? So the Lord is saying, a messenger will prepare the way before the Lord comes. And the Lord whom you seek, the Lord you are seeking, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, it shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And this place, verse 3, it shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they might offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. We will come back there later, not today, probably in parts 8 or 9, thereabout. But let's see chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So we keep saying something consistently, right? The Lord will do this. The Lord will do this. I mean, all these actions will be brought about by God himself. All right. But before Malachi ended the prophecy, he also spoke about a person that will also come before the Lord. That's in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That means before we will see the Lord, there will be a further sign. A messenger will first of all appear. All right. Then verse 5. How did Malachi end his prophecy? Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, even though Malachi said this, that a man is going to come before God, but he was not the only one who said that. Let's see Isaiah. Isaiah. You know, the prophets were consistent. Most times, you will not see it in just one person. You see it in different places saying the same thing. Isaiah 40 verse 3. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. See, you don't have a Bible anymore. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So now he's saying that before the Lord comes, somebody will come, prepare the way, ensure that the paths are straight and everything is leveled before the Lord comes. And then when the glory of the Lord appears, what happened? All flesh will what? See it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. All right. So one major thing we've seen consistently throughout the scriptures, throughout the prophecies, is that impute of God. That impute of God, I will. That action of what God will do, I will. I will. I will do this. This will be my work. This will be my doing. My zeal will perform this. We keep saying it to show that this that will happen will be God's action. And of course, the proof of prophecy is that if he says I will, then should it happen? Yes. Otherwise, all these things will be in vain. Now, we're going to continue later and see how the scripture progresses. After Malachi, what's the next thing? Matthew. So that's where we'll start from the next time. We have all just looked around to see what the prophecies have been about. So is it clear? Do we have overwhelming evidence from scriptures that a man is coming who fits all this description? So we know how to look for that man when he comes, right? He's coming in the volume of the books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll stop here and continue later. We're still talking about the religion of peace, breaking dividing walls, the religion of peace, and we'll continue in part 7 later. This is Bible study. How many of you have you following this so far?